It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. A referendum can be a way for voters to directly affect policy, like a Floridian's decision to restore voting rights to citizens convicted of some felonies, or the vote in Nebraska to expand Medicaid coverage in their state. But a lot of the time, referenda aren't actionable. Advisory referenda, like Wisconsin's marijuana ballot initiatives, can serve as a way for politicians to claim that public opinion is on their side. That's in spite of the fact that there are no official criteria for writing these questions in Wisconsin, for example, and as such, the wording often differs from district to district and isn't neutral. We kind of touched on that a little bit ago when we talked about the dark stores loophole referenda, which in some communities were very difficult to read and understand. Do you know, did you know there was a referendum question in your district before you went to vote, or was the first time you heard about it when you saw it on your ballot? Were there any referenda you felt passionately about that really pushed you to get out and vote in the midterms, or did they not factor into your decision to vote? Do you know what the, for example, the dark store loophole referendum was beforehand? Were you unfamiliar with the issue when you went to vote on it? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guest is David Cannon, chair of the Political Science Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. David, welcome to the morning show.
Morning, John. Good to be with you.
A referenda are probably best known as a way for people to weigh in on policy decisions in a really direct way. But not all referenda fall into this category because a referendum doesn't always dictate what a legislature has to do. Could you explain how that works, please?
Well, that's right. So there are actually six different kinds of referendum in the state of Wisconsin. Four of them are legislative. So we have state referendum that are issued by the state legislature. So an example of that would be the transportation fund that we approved back in 2014 that passed by an 80-20 margin statewide. There have been 41 of those that have been passed in Wisconsin history, so it doesn't happen very often, but that is occasionally something that voters will vote on statewide. Then we have local initiative that are local direct initiatives that anyone can put on a petition if they get the required signatures. Then there's school referendum that are quite common. We had 77 of those approved statewide last week for an additional $1.3 billion of funding for schools. So that's something that voters often vote on for their local schools, and those are put on the referendum by the school boards in most cases. And then you have these advisory opinions that we had on the ballot around the state on Tuesday for marijuana, for the dark stores. And these actually have no impact on legislation directly. They're only served to allow voters to voice their opinion on these issues. And then finally, we have constitutional amendments that have a whole separate process for changing our constitution. And then we have recall votes, like we had with Scott Walker's recall several years ago. So those are the six different kinds we have. All of them are binding, except for the ones that are the advisory referendum.
We had quite a few advisory referenda on the ballot this past week, and we talked about one of those, the Dark Stores loophole referenda, which I think 23 different counties, cities, villages had around the state, and so there were a lot of those. And here's the wording in one. This is from Dane County. The ballot, the referendum question was worded this way: should the state legislature protect residential property taxpayers by preventing commercial and manufacturing property owners from using tax loopholes to shift the tax burden to homeowners? Well, now, Dave, this strikes me as if I was a lawyer, I would object that this is a leading question. Why wouldn't you vote yes when it's worded like that?
Well, right. I think the amazing thing about this referendum is that 8% of the voters still said that they wanted this burden on them as taxpayers. So, right, I totally agree. This is a very biased wording of the question. And on the previous segment, you talked to someone who discussed how difficult it was to get a fair wording of a complex issue like that. And I understand that, but this was still not very well worded. That even using the word loophole itself seems to me, that's a loaded word that tilts in the direction of saying this is a bad thing. So this is not a neutrally phrased referendum. And it's not surprising that 92% of voters said that they wanted that burden lifted from them.
Who actually writes these things?
So the county boards actually are the source of most of these. They can be brought by individual citizens as well, who could petition their board to put something on the ballot. But according to the Wisconsin Election Commission, that had an advisory memo on it this summer because they were receiving so many questions about these advisory referendum, the Wisconsin Election Commission said the county boards aren't bound to put anything on the ballot they don't want to put on the ballot. So it's really up to the county boards. And I believe that there were 23 that had the dark stores, and then there were another 17 that had marijuana on the ballot this last week.
And just for those who may not have heard our earlier discussion, the dark store loophole allows big box stores to assess the property value of open stores based on the value of vacant or closed stores. And that's been a real bone of contention for a lot of municipalities around the state, which is what prompted some of these initiatives. David Cannon is chair of the Political Science Department of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We're talking about referenda and kind of going through some of the minutiae of how they get on the ballot and what they actually do. 800-642-1234. Tell us if you actually knew there were referendum questions in your district before you went to the polls, or was the first time you heard about these issues was when you saw them on your ballot? And did, if you knew there was a referendum question, is that what pushed you to go out and vote in the midterms, or was that not a factor at all? And if you saw a referendum question on your ballot, was it worded in a confusing or a leading way? How did you feel about it when you saw it? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Given the fact that the individual county boards can write language however they want into these advisory questions, when these questions pop up around the state, if the wording is different in every locality, how can it really be an accurate assessment of what public opinion is on any given issue?
Well, that's a really good point. And that especially when it concerns state legislation, like the dark store issue would have to be really resolved on the state level. Same thing with marijuana. That would have to be a statewide policy. When you have, 16 different versions or 23 different versions of this, coming up, it really is hard to have any, sort of uniform wording if they're all being written by different county boards. And so it is hard to know what to make of this. Now, on the other hand, I think you can definitely get a general sense that voters in Wisconsin do seem to favor legalizing marijuana, either for recreational or medicinal uses, as some of the counties just had for medical marijuana. And so you get that variation as well in terms of the marijuana legalization. Is it just for medical purposes or recreational use? And so it is harder for state legislators who are trying to use this information to be able to say, yeah, we really know exactly what the voters think.
It would seem to make some sense for example, the Wisconsin Counties Association, which is a statewide group, if they really feel strongly about something, to get together and come up with some wording that would be consistent, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be a real improvement. And then you also could put some more effort into trying to get the best neutral language you could for the wording of the question as well, which would really help voters.
Okay. David Cannon stays with us as our conversation about referenda continues. He's chair of the Political Science Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. What do you think? Were there referendum questions on your ballot? Were they difficult to understand? Were they confusing? Were you surprised by them? 800-642-1234. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Stay tuned. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Lots of local units of government in Wisconsin had referenda on the ballot last Tuesday. Some of them were about increasing local property taxes to help pay for schools. Local taxpayers approved more than $1 billion in increases for that purpose. There were a number of advisory questions on local ballots, however, about things like legalizing marijuana or closing the so-called dark stores loophole. Did you know there were referenda on your district ballot before you went to vote? Or was the first time you heard about it when you saw it on the ballot? Were there referenda you felt passionately about and they really got you to go out and vote in the midterms? Or did that not factor in your decision to vote at all? Did you know, for example, what the dark store loophole was all about before you went to vote? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings as well. Three ways to get in touch. We want to hear from you. David Cannon is with us. David is the chair of the Political Science Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Let's go to the phones. Jody is with us, calling from Janesville. Jody, good morning. Welcome to the morning show.
Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had gotten a sample ballot ahead of time so I could look at the referendum, and I really really was encouraged to vote more for the governor's race than the referendum, but getting that sample ballot helped me to understand what the questions were, and I did that ahead of time.
Did you request that, or did it just show up?
My husband had gotten it. His mother does the voting volunteering, so they got to vote early, and they brought me a sample ballot.
Okay. Jody, thanks a lot about that. Another thing, how informed are voters about referenda, David Cannon? How much, for example, particularly on more obscure policy issues like the dark store loophole?
Right. So on issues like this, for the dark store loophole, for the medical marijuana, that are just the advisory referenda, these probably don't have very much voter information. There's not any advertising really concerning these. Their interest groups don't get involved as much because they're not binding. You contrast that to a statewide referendum that really matters, where you're actually implementing law. And then you get millions of dollars spent by different groups on both sides. Say, you know, for example, you talked about the felon reenfranchisement in Florida or expanding Medicaid in three states that were on the ballot last week. In cases like that, where you're really changing law, then you'll have a lot of money spent advertising, educating voters. Voters do go to the polls and pretty informed about those issues. But when you have these advisory referendum, I would say most voters probably didn't even know that they were on the ballot. And Jody's probably the exception for being a super well-informed voter who actually, you know, went to the trouble to get a sample ballot and look at that. You know, most voters weren't in that position, and they went to the polls really not knowing anything about these issues before they voted.
Well, it seems to me, though, that access to sample ballots, if you've got a smartphone, even if you don't have the internet, if you've got any kind of data plan, it's not that hard to find what the sample ballot is for your district, at least not in Wisconsin. You can look it up, but maybe people are busy, they don't bother, or if it's non-binding, people don't really care that much about it. I don't know. What is the point of a non-binding advisory referendum?
Well, the main point for the non-binding advisory referendum is simply to inform the legislators about public opinion. And these are usually put on the ballot by groups that want to influence policy in the direction that they favor. And so the marijuana initiatives obviously were on the ballot because, you know, some people in the state think we should legalize marijuana either for recreational or medical use. And so they're trying to show state legislators that, hey, we've had 60%, 65% of your constituents, you know, favor this policy. So it's a way to try to pressure state legislators to actually enact state legislation on that issue.
Can these advisory referenda drive turnout at the polls? I mean, we've heard from a handful of listeners over the past week who suggest that the marijuana legalization referenda in Wisconsin were a big factor in helping Democrats win because it brought out so many people to vote who wouldn't have otherwise. Do you subscribe to that theory as well?
Well, we don't have any systematic evidence to support that claim. There's nothing in the exit polls asking about that. So it really just be speculation to try to make that link. My sense is that you know, most voters wouldn't be motivated if they knew it was just an advisory referendum and not a binding referendum. So the most well-informed voters will say, you know, yeah, maybe I care about marijuana legalization, but if you know it's just advisory, it's really not, you know, that much of a tangible reason to go vote. So I would find it hard to believe that very many voters were actually motivated to go to the polls by these advisory referendum when in fact they have no direct impact on law.
Can you think of an example of an advisory referendum that actually ended up causing the legislature to do something in one direction or another? Is there research on that?
Well, that's a good question. In looking at the, again, I mentioned that there are 41 different statewide referendums that have been approved in Wisconsin history. So this doesn't happen that often. And the most recent ones that have been approved, like the Transportation Fund, that was approved in 2014 and passed by an 80-20 margin. That, to my knowledge, didn't have any advisory referendum prior to that approval. So in the most recent cases, they didn't have a direct link between an advisory opinion, advisory referendum, and then the actual referendum being passed. But there, it's possible that we have had examples of that. I just can't think of one.
Okay. Do you think in general that the referendum as a means of advancing policy, is this good for democracy?
I think yes. I think the direct referendum can be very good for democracy. And if you look, in fact, what happened around the country last Tuesday, we had a lot of referenda that passed in states where the state legislature had refused to go in that direction. So things like nonpartisan redistricting commissions are extremely popular with voters every time you put that to the polls, but they're not supported by politicians who don't want to give away that power. So that's a perfect example of where direct democracy really can have an impact on improving, you know, the nature of their political process. Also things like expanding Medicaid, increasing the minimum wage. You know, these were passed in red states and Republican states where the state legislature didn't want to have those policies, yet the voters were able to get around that by a direct referendum. So I think that this really can be a very positive thing for democracy, for sure.
We've seen, and you commented on this earlier, that there's been an increase in the number of referenda to support additional school funding at the local level. What does that say about public opinion about, for example, taxes?
Right. I think it's very dramatic that here in the state, we had $1.3 billion approved by voters in 77 different school districts around the state on Tuesday. You know, that shows, I think, that voters, when given the choice, really do want to support education, even when it means increasing their own taxes. And so this is, you know, voters saying, yeah, I'm willing to pay a higher property tax rate to fund better schools. And this is, you know, last week was just the most recent example of we've seen, you know, over the last several years, billions more in school funding through direct votes like this.
And how has the legislature responded to this?
Well, in the last two-year budget, schools finally did get an increase in funding. But as everyone knows, you know, we had pretty huge cuts in public education funding before that. So in part, I think you can see the school referendum as a response to that recent history of deep cuts for public education. And this is the voters' way of saying, hey, those cuts are too deep, that they're going too far, and we want to restore some of that funding for our schools.
Let's take a quick call from Dave in Oconomowoc. Dave, go ahead. We're almost out of time.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to know how it can possibly be legal to have a marijuana vote that it covers the whole state and only have it in areas that are dominated by college students and liberals. How can that possibly be legal?
Okay, Dave, thanks. The marijuana referendum, you want to explain that for Dave?
Yeah, so again, these are just advisory referendum that were only on the ballot in these specific counties. So six counties in the state had it on the ballot for recreational use, 11 counties for medical use. And this is not binding on the entire state in any way. This is just the advisory referendum that are saying the voters in those counties think this would be a good idea. And the state legislature can either pay attention to that or they can completely ignore it, just depending on what their preferences are.
And so it doesn't really, there's no direct public policy impact of any kind. So Do you think that there should be maybe some changes to the way we handle referenda so that it's we can get some more real insight into how the public feels about a given issue by, for example, I don't even know how you would do this, but maybe forcing a more consistent wording on issues?
Yeah, well, as you pointed out earlier in the half hour, the county boards do have a state association, and they could use this as a vehicle, perhaps, for stating some uniform wording of ballot initiatives. And so if you wanted to have a referendum on a given topic, the county board association would recommend, here's our recommended wording on this issue. If you want to put this on your ballot, do so, but here's the wording you should use. I think that would be a great idea because it would give us more meaningful input then from voters and probably better question wording as well.
Okay, having solved the problems of the world, David Cannon, we're out of time. Appreciate your time this morning.
Okay, good to be with you, John.
David Cannon, chair of the Political Science Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to this program on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. Stay with us. More to come.